Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Listen, I'm not a Rubik's Cube, Cameron. I'm not a crossword puzzle. You don't get to solve me.
No, I'm not trying to solve you. I'm just trying to get you to come and work with me.
Doing what?
Solving just an incredibly difficult puzzle. Something no one's been able to do.
What kind of puzzle?
One that matters.
Matters is a relative term. Some people think jazz matters.
Well, we're talking Newton-level matters. Einstein, Oppenheimer, fundamental nature of underlying reality.
That's the Iris Affair starting this Thursday at 9 p.m. on Sky Atlantic. You could hear Niamh Alger's fabulous cheekbones even over the radio. James Dempsey is here with us once again. So this is a kind of a thrillery thing, obviously.
This is a techno thriller with a killer setting, really, in that it is set, like, you know, yesterday, or this whole weekend was this, like, horribly grey, overcast, miserable autumn into winter kind of event. And this all takes place in the sunlit, golden South Italy and Sicily, and it all just looks beautiful and you kind of wish you had an Aperol spritz. Now, it is a funny show. It is an 8-part thriller created by Neil Cross, who's probably best known for Luther, the Idris Elba thriller about 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago at this point. But he wrote on Spooks and he wrote The Mosquito Coast for Apple TV. That didn't really take off particularly well. And this sees him create the character of Iris, played by Niamh Alger. She is... She's not particularly well defined, is what I would say. She is Irish in the show, and she's using her, you know, native Irish, I think Mullingar accent. And in it, she just plays this woman who likes to solve puzzles and gets swept up in this secretive organization that has in a secret Slovenian military base has this supercomputer.
Okay.
Right. And this
super- is she like a computer program or just somebody like sitting by the beach doing the crossword
she,
puzzle?
She likes the Sudoku, yeah. Right, basically. It's unclear, to be honest with you, right? Like, as in, it's clear that she loves solving problem solving and that she is a problem solver both physically and mentally, in that if she put her in a fight, she will think of her way out of it.
Okay.
But it's kind of not really clear what exactly, why she got into this industry, shall we say.
Right, right? Okay.
So anyway, this supercomputer is up in the mountains and it's a bit James Bondy, to be honest with you.
Okay.
You know, like, you know, I think it's a slight faux pas they made in the series, and I get it. It's very tricky to make, you know, an AI intelligence menacing or threatening. Like, they did it with HAL, you know, once and then they've kind of not really done it well since then.
Yeah.
But this one is, you know, it honestly just looks like a massive computer with a few, like, cellophane tendrils coming out of it. So they didn't really pull that bit off, right?
Okay.
But all in, it's this terrifying supercomputer that may or may not lead to the destruction of the world. And Iris goes running with the plans for it, shall we say. Right? It's a bit more complicated than that, but she's on the run with these plans hiding from Tom Hollander. Now, none of that is a spoiler. We get that right at the very beginning.
Okay, all right. Okay, okay, so Tom Hollander isn't like her boss. He's the baddie in this.
He is her boss. Is he the baddie is a question I will leave unanswered.
Okay,
right?
All right.
But all in, we start with Iris on the run, on the lam in southern Italy to make ends meet and keep herself, keep credit on her phone where she can watch the, you know, conspiracy theorists who are making videos about her on YouTube. She also moonlights as a tutor teaching maths to a kind of troubled waif who is up to no good herself. Now, of course, people are looking for her and that will kick off our action as Iris goes running from one Italian beach town to another Italian beach town, running from various different people, getting involved with all kinds of people on the wrong side of the tracks and trying to get them back onto the right side of the tracks. But she is a very kind of classic anti-hero. It's not that she particularly wants to save anybody so much as she just wants to save herself.
Mm-hmm.
And she keeps getting pulled and swept into this murky underworld involving limitless amounts of money and nice suits and Italian sunshine. Now, all in, I think it slightly overdid it. Like, they could have wrapped this up, trust me, in 6 episodes rather than 8, right? But I will say it is a good showcase for Neve Alger as this kind of action star. Like, yes, the cheekbones. I actually think she kind of has a jawline that many men travel to Turkey for. She just has this very kind of enigmatic, mercurial quality to her. And if you kind of look at her, like, you know, career, I mean, you know, she's been in many dramas and has been BAFTA nominated as well. But like, she has cut her teeth in the streaming era as a kind of action star somewhat. She was in Raised by Wolves, which was a HBO Max launch show that ran for two seasons, where she played a kind of, well, a mother with a gun, shall we say, on an alien planet fighting robots. And she here is definitely an action star. She is like, we'll say, a Jason Bourne-esque type person who is able to realize, okay, I need to get out of this situation, and how can I manipulate people, and how can I be, you know, aggressive in my fighting, even though I'm a smaller woman than many of these men. So, like, and she takes punches, she gives them back, but she has to think of her way out of the situation. Now, when it is at its best is when there's the meaty dialogue between her and Tom Hollander. I actually think he is, like, excellent. Like, no, he knows exactly what he's doing. I mean, this is a little bit White Lotus-y, that kind of version of him.
Yeah, where he can come off as a bit creepy.
Like, his kind of small stature really lends itself well to this kind of effete, mean, sly, catty character that he can play in his sleep. But here he's wide awake, and it definitely, he's a lot of the comedic relief comes from him and the banter between them back and forth. All in, it is a kind of like, it's a good juicy techno thriller if you like that kind of thing. If you don't, you're not going to find anything here. And I'd say definitely a lot of it is in Italian. So if you have no time for subtitles, then don't waste your time either.
Okay, but so
if you're aspiring for a bit of Italian sunshine, then yes, definitely.
But so it's all in Italy. There isn't a bit where she flees back to Mullingar and they have car chases through Mullingar. I'd like to see that.
About halfway through it, an Italian policewoman says, "Oh, this like British woman," and I thought, oh, is she meant to be British? But no, she's definitely meant to be Irish, because they say it later on. But anyway.
Okay. And Neve doesn't correct her.
It's on the phone.
Right. Okay. Our next show is The Last Frontier. New episodes every Friday on Apple TV+. Here's a clip.
I can see what's going on. I'm looking for 18 prisoners and the CIA's looking for one. You know, there's plenty going on here that I don't understand. But I tell you one thing I do know. I know this place. And it is unforgiving. And hell, if the elements of the wildlife don't get you, 18 hours of darkness surely will. People up here are different. Many don't have phones, most of them have guns. And I took an oath to protect them. Take that oath seriously.
Okay. Plane with a load of passengers in it. Or a plane with a load of convicts in it. Yeah, sounds vaguely familiar.
Brett Conair is what I've been calling this one, right? So yes, it is basically Conair in snow instead of, I think Conair happens in a desert, I think, but like Las Vegas-y desert, right? So who you heard in the clip there was Jason Clark as Frank Remnick. He is the only US Marshal in Alaska, where this plane carrying a bunch of federal, very bad federal criminals crashes in the opening scenes. But in addition to having a bunch of very bad no-goodens, it also has a highly trained, highly dangerous, highly has been turned CIA mole. So this brings multiple different agencies up to Alaska as they are trying to capture this CIA mole who has gone rogue. In a real, very literal Jason Bourne kind of way, they're trying to capture him, while all of the other convicts who also survived the plane crash are running amok in the Alaska wilderness and tiny towns that they have up there. Now, I was surprised by how much I enjoyed this. It is classic old school dad action. Right. Obviously, you know, the thematically, it's very much like Con Air, but actually it really reminded me of like 24. Right. You know, like Jack Bauer style, which I used to watch, I think, on RT2 on a Tuesday evening in my teenage years, where he would, you know, go and try and solve some terrorism and blah, blah, and make, you know, and I have a wife who gets kidnapped and have a child in peril. And let me tell you, all that is happening here as well. Right. So. What I thought worked particularly well in it is the actor Jason Clark. He, you know, he's kind of an American character actor. You would definitely know his face. You mightn't particularly know his name. He's not, you know, a traditional leading man, hunk, shall we say, matinee idol either. But he does fit very nicely into this mold of probably conservative American living up in Alaska, you know.
Grizzled, kind of.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And he carried it extremely well. Now, he's matched not particularly well by Hayley Bennett. She plays Sidney Schofield, who is the CIA agent who may or may not have a checkered past with the aforementioned CIA mole, who I will call Havelock and give no more information about that because definitely I think that would qualify as a spoiler.
Okay.
In what has definitely been, you know, the year of the oneer, as in that one continuous shot, because I mean that has happened so many times this year. This has an excellent one-er, which is this fantastic ambush scene that happens as our various Alaskan emergency services arrive at this plane crash, only to have it not go in any way the way they want to. That is a fantastic action sequence that goes on for about, you know, 3-4 minutes and is absolutely edge of your seat kind of stuff.
Okay.
But like, this is much better than I expected it to be. Now, it comes from, the creator is John Bokenkamp. The only thing I of his I'm particularly familiar with, and only because my barber sometimes plays it when I'm getting my haircut, is he made The Blacklist, the James Spader kind of
schlocky
thriller. Yeah. So this is his bread and butter, that kind of like dad's action.
Yeah. Right?
But honestly, I thought there was a lot to it if you go in with like medium expectations, as in this isn't going to change the world, but it could be very entertaining of what it does.
Yeah, yeah. Now obviously there's a lot of snow, is it? But he mentioned 17 hours is it during the day, most of this? It's not like whatchamacallit, the other thing that was set up in Alaska,
True Detective. It's not like True Detective where it is, you know, it's not like, oh, it's going nighttime for the next 6 months. To me, there actually seemed to be an awful lot of daylight, to be honest with you. You know, that they weren't, you know, it was shot in the Canadian, it was shot outside Montreal in Quebec, so clearly they weren't quite far north enough for the lighting conditions to be that bad. But no, definitely the idea here is elements are going to play a role as we get further into the show. And I will say most of the other criminals are only kind of a scattershot in these first two episodes. They really focus on Havelock, this CIA mole, to kind of set him up as a principal threat to the main thing. But the rest of them, I mean, you have Johnny Knoxville playing one, Clifton Collins Jr. Like, Apple has a deep budget, so they can get very good, well, I mean, I don't know how good Johnny Knoxville is, but whatever. They can get name character actors anyway to play all of these little roles who will, I believe, get to come to the forefront in their own episode before either...
Yeah, they're killed, captured or killed, yeah. Yes. Well, how many prisoners are on the plane?
So I think, from my memory, there's about 18 ones who have survived the plane crash.
All right, but we're not going to see all of them in much detail. Of course we're not. Right, our third show is Victoria Beckham. You can stream the entire series now on Netflix. Here's a clip.
I knew that to start this new chapter of my life, I had to change. Strip the other personas away. You know, I buried those boobs in Baden-Baden. I became a simpler, more elegant version of myself.
Yeah, she definitely has changed, Victoria Beckham. You wouldn't recognize her from the way she was before. So is this just a hagiography? Is this Victoria Beckham produces a how many part series?
Three parts.
Saying how great Victoria Beckham is.
So Beckham came out in 2023, this 4-part documentary that was obviously about David Beckham. And it was directed by Fisher Stevens, who is in Succession and like Short Circuit. They're the two credits I know, right? And basically, that was really successful. It was nominated for 5 Emmys. Yeah. It was very critically lauded. And perhaps something of a breakout star of it was Victoria Beckham for the very, you know, the various talking heads or little side bit interviews they'd get with her, because she's funny, right?
Yeah.
Like, and they have this actually look, seemingly from the outside anyway, very charming looking relationship where they completely love each other and are absolutely minted. So like it's going well, right? And she, Victoria Beckham then obviously signed on to do essentially the same thing. Now, her one is directed by Nadia Hallgren. I'm not familiar with her as a name. The biggest credit I could get for her as a director was on Popstar Academy, Cat's Eye, which I think was a kind of K-pop reality TV show. But look, that's not to say anything about that, right? All in, I thought this was fine. It's just that it doesn't, like, it can't retread the same ground that we had in Beckham, which of course followed him from, like, let's say, schoolboy footballer to world famous metrosexual / whatever, right? And here, the main through line is about Victoria Beckham transitioning from posh spice, shall we say, to wag, to then very successful fashion designer slash actually not that successful, because although critically very successful, financially in the doldrums and having to be bailed out to 54 million losses, right?
Ouch.
Now, yeah. I found that figure, 54 million, by doing my own digging, because they reveal that their losses are heavy, but they don't go quite into it in the documentary,
right. Okay.
Because it's all very nice. Mm. Now, don't get me wrong, like, and I'm not... By, you know, I'm not looking for, you know, I'm not in the league for buying Victoria Beckham clothing, but I can appreciate if I think it's pretty or not, right? Mm. But it makes a reasonably good argument about how she transitioned from WAG particularly to fashion designer by working very closely with a French fashion designer named Roland Mouret. So much so that people often thought he actually was, you know, the brains behind it and she was just simply the name on the label.
Mm.
Now, at the same time, like, because she's not a classically trained fashion designer, she doesn't sew the clothes, she doesn't sketch the clothes, she vibes the clothes into existence. And, it, you know, the whole thing is leading up to this very, very, you know, fancy, lucrative-looking New York Fashion Week show in the suburbs of Paris in a castle. It all, like, all the vibes there look fancy and expensive, but as an outsider viewer not really knowing, like, the fashion world particularly well, I don't think it really made a great case for exactly what she does, as in, does she design the clothes from the very, like I just don't quite still know what she does.
Yes.
Except for run massive losses. Now, Victoria Beckham is still funny and charming. The rapport between her and David is excellent, but it's just maybe not as meaty as the previous documentary, because it doesn't get to tread the same ground that's already been covered. And if you're in this for, like, a warts and all look at the Spice Girls, that's not what you're going to get. And what I was really hoping for was, like, the truth about her potentially falling out with her eldest son, Brooklyn, yeah, which is, like, a known secret, and we don't get anything on that either.
Yeah, actually, some of sex in to say her son is an executive producer on it, which I assume isn't Brooklyn.
I don't know which one, but several of them, you know, appear in it anyway.
Yeah, wait, because I suppose in the David documentary, there was especially to an American audience who mightn't have been aware,
sure,
so much of his football past and how he was for a while, like,
yeah,
vilified publicly in the UK. Doesn't she talk about having eating disorders?
She does reveal that, yes. And she does also talk a lot about, and, you know, and repeatedly in every episode, you know, they're playing clips from, let's say, the late 90s into the 2000s of talking heads or journalists or commentators saying the most vitriolic, horrible things about her and how bruising it is to have that celebrity lose it and then still be chasing it in another form. And how ultimately she discovered on, you know, the last time she was touring with the Spice Girls that holding a microphone and barely singing was not really doing it for her anymore. That what she wanted was fashion. That is now absolutely where her interest lies, and she wanted to rebrand that. And I guess I would have liked them to explore a bit better how the fashion label was both critically very successful, yet financially completely and utterly not. They do. I mean, they talk about different, you know, people coming in.
It seems like nobody bought the clothes. Would that be like, you know, I don't know much about that industry.
You might have a career in consultancy.
It might be, yeah. Sell the clothes. Very important.
But what it does do, I guess, is show how her style has evolved, right? Because, you know, you see her as this WAG in 2006 in the boots that she said, you know, were buried in Baden-Baden, and how she has changed into this incredibly chic woman now. And how her whole brand is about chicness, and that, like, she is the figurehead behind that and she's pushing that. It's just, I don't actually know what she does. I don't know. Like, she, you know, she sort of sits and looks and agrees, and maybe that is what fashion designers do. Like, maybe, you know, I genuinely don't know. But I'm none the wiser three parts into a documentary about her.
Did you learn anything about her as a human being? Because that just sounds like, you know, there was this surface change,
yeah,
and that I changed my image.
I think you definitely learn that she's, like, you learn about ambition and a completely driven aspect of her, as in, I am going to make this change from being Posh Spice to being Victoria Beckham fashion designer, despite the fact that the fashion industry is notorious for being, you know, pompous and snooty and looking down its nose at literally even perfect specimens of human beings as they walk down a catwalk, let alone somebody who comes from a girl band, if you get me, and how she kind of breaks through that mold to become a success and have Anna Wintour come and even be a talking head in her documentary.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
Was she ever that posh? Or was she just posh compared to the other ones?
Yeah, I think ultimately that. Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Right, so those three shows are The Iris Affair, that starts on Thursday at 9 p.m. on Sky Atlantic. The Last Frontier, new episodes every Friday on Apple TV+. And Victoria Beckham, you can stream the entire series now on Netflix. James Dempsey, thanks a million.
Thank you.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.